Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. So again, just Narada, best of the transcendentalists, the forms of the body cannot take place as long as these created parts, namely the elements, senses, mind, and modes of nature, not assembled. So again, I said different people come different days. Just a short, brief summary. So Maharaj Prickett asked about the process of creation from Sukadeva Goswami. So we see within the Bhagavatam that very often the conclusion comes. Basically, when that the essence of Krishna is to focus your mind on Krishna. Never forget him. That one, if you can realize that one instruction, you don't need any more instructions. But because of our misconceptions and because of our material attachments and our material condition, we cannot do that. So therefore, we need to have a further basis of transcendental knowledge to support our practice of Krishna consciousness. I was thinking the same thing is done in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna gives the essence in the middle, the 9th and 10th chapters, 12th chapter also devotional service. He's really instructed Arjuna what to do, but again, the 13th chapter, nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness, he again begins to explain jnana, to give some support for that endeavor. Just like devotees, they know the goal is to chant Krishna, but then they have problems, and therefore people have to counsel them, they have to give them knowledge, they have to make them detach from the world to support that endeavor. So therefore, Maharaj Prickett asks further questions, and he asks the process of creation, not the origin of creation, because that's known from the very beginning, but the process of creation. How God is great. And how God is great, we can understand greatness, because we don't have when you have a personal relationship with someone, you can understand their greatness in terms of their personality. But when you don't have that intimacy, you can only understand their greatness in terms of their opulence and power. So before we have that intimate relationship with Krishna, to help us surrender to him, to help us become attracted to him, to help us realize our position in relationship with him, we have to know how great he is. In the standard of greatness in which we understand, which is matter, and if we have to understand how God is connected with this world, and how this world, which is so awe-inspiring and so powerful and so great, is connected with him. That was the same in the universal form, that concept was given. The tigers, you know, the mountains, so powerful, makes you feel insignificant. Some sense of spirituality, some sense of devotion. So you have to understand the process of creation. So he asked about the process of creation, how inconceivable that was. Even Maharaj Prickett said, how to understand this. And then Sukadeva Goswami prayed for empowerment to answer the question. And then began to answer it by referring to a conversation that took place in his parivar, his spiritual family, in his line from the previous acharyas, when the head of his sampradaya, which is Lord Brahma, and who spoke to Narada about these same questions about creation. The very same questions about creation. So he referred to Lord Brahma speaking to Narada Muni about creation. And it's also significant that he asked Lord Brahma because Lord Brahma himself was involved in that task of creation. So the dialogue was there and we were just up to the part where Lord Brahma began to explain the creation and we got a little sense of the details of it. the exact order and details a little bit difficult, but there is the Mahatattva, which at one point Prabhupada called the collective false ego. And the Mahatattva is agitated by time, and then the three modes of material nature are manifest, and yeah, and basically from goodness, the controllers of the senses are manifest, which is the demigods. From passion, the organs of the senses are manifest. And from ignorance, the objects of the senses are manifest, which is matter. And it was described in this way. We discussed a little bit more of the technicalities of it. So he's just described all these different bhutas. The verse also says bhuta. All these different elements, material elements, were described. But that's only one part of creation. There's actually two parts to creation. In the ninth chapter of the Bhagavatam, or I think it's the beginning of the tenth, of the second canto, what is described is the subject matters of the Bhagavatam, and there are 10 subject matters. And it's described that the first 9 subject matters are meant to help you isolate or understand the transcendence. Just like if you wanted to understand a person, right, then you may have to understand his education, his health, his family, you know, and then all these parts will help you to understand the person. But the real thing you want to understand is the person. So Bhagavatam is like that. So two of the subjects that one should understand are Atra Saragas, the Sargas Jas, the tier potion of Bhutaya. Atra Sarga. Sarga is creation, Visarga is post-creation. Saga or creation means the manifestation of the material elements from Karana, Dakashai, Vishnu. Visarga means the assemblage of those elements by Garbo, Dakashai, Vishnu. So when he asked about the process of creation, the first thing that Lord Brahma did was explain Sarga, how the material elements themselves manifest. And in the last 10 or 15 verses, we spoke yesterday, the day before maybe, or yesterday, we spoke about how those elements were actually manifest. Now, Lord Brahma is going to discuss Visarga, how those elements are assembled. And they're assembled by Garbo Dakashai Vishnu, along with Lord Brahma himself. The universes are coming from the pores of Karana Dakshai Vishnu. In one breath they expand, which is millions and millions of years. Then Lord Brahma enters, then Garbo Dakshai Vishnu enters into each universe and animates the universes, just as a soul enters into the body and animates the body. The universe is animated. And then Shira Dakshai Vishnu then enters into each atom and every living entity to animate that. So Prabhupada confirms this here. Yeah, it's it. The forms of the body cannot take place as long as these created parts, namely the senses, mind, and modes of nature, are not assembled. So these are the different elements that were discussed before. Nasheku, it's not possible. It's not possible. It's got to be assembled. So this part of the creation is described. And therefore Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita 1861. What is it? Yantra Rudhani Maya. That it's a yantra, a machine made of material elements. And that machine has to be assembled. And then But throughout these verses, of course, because the real essence is that there may be different creations that are described by time, by the modes of material nature. But the real point to understand is the purpose of this creation and the creator of this creation. You have to understand the purpose of this creation. You have to understand the creator of this creation. So Prabhupada always does that, and he explains how the living entity has been given a little freedom to act out his will. A little freedom to act out his will. And Prabhupada always gives the example of a son of a rich man who doesn't, you know, he wants to become a hippie. He doesn't want to, you know, live in the family. And the father wants him to live in the family. But he realizes that without that experience of suffering by being independent from the family, he won't come to the right conclusion that he should be in the family. So the father says, okay, here, go out. Go on your own. And then by the suffering, by seeing that I'm separated from the family, I have no wealth, I have no money, and the son goes out, and eventually he just becomes so disturbed by that position that he had desired. And this is the material world. Krishna gives you the position you desire. Now see, you like your position? You're happy? You're happy? Now you're the controller. Krishna's allowed you to think you're the controller and the enjoyer, and that you're independent from him? Everyone's happy? It's a great position, isn't it? So much fun, isn't it? Yet we suffer every day. Now here I am, I'm the controller, I set my schedule. When I am going, I want to go on that day, and then what happens? In a second, Rasta Roko. Bund. Rasta Roko means the roads are blocked. That's also another type of bund. Rasta Roko, they stop the roads. Bund. Closed. You want to enjoy? You want to be the controller? So Prabhupada gave a very nice example how the father gives playthings to the child to satisfy him. So the child has the playthings and he's moving them around. Now I am the controller. This is my little dollhouse and I'm putting this in here and I'm doing this and I'm the controller. Now he's satisfied. Here we got, it's like a plaything, and then it's also, can describe the material nature as like a maidservant. You know, the father's the controller, but the child who's young has to be put under another assistant. So, this visarga will be explained. Tadasam hatya chanyonyam bhagavach chakti chodita. Sarasatvam upadaya chobayam sasrijoyada. Thus, when all these became assembled by the force of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this universe certainly came into being by accepting both the primary and secondary causes of creation. So these are assembled, and therefore the universe comes into existence. Probably the purport. Because the word here was Shakti, by the force of the energy. So it's created by the Lord Shakti. And therefore it says that, Prabhupada said in this verse, it is clearly mentioned that the Supreme Personality of Godhead exerts his different energies in the creation. It is not that he himself is transformed into material energies, creation. He expands by his different energies, as well as his plenary portions, and then Prabhupada describes. In a corner of the spiritual sky, a Brahmajyoti, a spiritual cloud ties sometimes appear, and that portion, that's called the Mahatattva. The Lord then, his plenary portion of Mahavishnu, lies down within the water of the Mahatattva. And that's called the Karanajal, the causal ocean. And then when Mahavishnu sleeps, universes emanate from his breathing. These universes are floating. They're scattered all over the causal ocean. So we're right now in the causal ocean, one of those universes. In each and every universal globe, the same Mahavishnu enters again as Garbhadakshai Vishnu and lies on Sesha, and from his navel sprouts a lotus stem. Then Brahma is born, and then Brahma creates all the forms of living entities of different shapes and terms, in terms of different desires within the universe. This is the most amazing thing. This is why Brahma is so powerful, because he's the transcendental engineer. There's actually a verse where he's actually called engineer in Sanskrit. Transcendental engineer. And what he does is he assembles the elements in the bodies in this system. That's why when this job, he was so fearful of it. It was so overwhelming, and you have to be in such a mood almost as a controller, because he's got to assemble all the bodies to fit the karma, desires, and inclination of the living entities. So you can imagine you get a particular body. Just look what this machine is. It's a particular body which moves according to your previous inclinations and desires. And then that body, it changes and transforms and moves according to your past karma. And the body is moving according to that. And then the world around you is also moving according to that. And then you got to coordinate different people in the same place which share the same karma. Of course, this is by, he's doing it in conjunction with Sharadakshai Vishnu. But to set up this whole system, very difficult task. And that's why when Lord Brahma came back after stealing the cows in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when he came back and he saw that Krishna had duplicated all the cowherd boys and calves. And it's described in the Bhagavatam, with their inclinations, with their habits. I would give the example, just meditate on yourself. How difficult it would be to create you. Your whole previous proclivities and your psyche, which is turned by so many experiences, would have to be recreated. And Krishna did this with all the cowherd boys and calves. Perfectly recreated everything. The Bhagavatam, it's a great verse. It describes, you know, with their habits, their inclination, their lunch boxes. Everything was created by the power of Krishna. So it's all done by the Lord's Shakti. Prasya Shaktir Vividhaya Suyata. The Lord's wonderful Shakti. And so when they all became assembled by the Lord, the universe came into being by accepting sat asat, by cause and effect. And then it starts working by cause and effect. One thing as a result, which leads to the result, and the world begins to move.
Varshapuga sahasrante tarandam udake sayam kala karma swabhavasto jivo jivam majivayat.
It's so nice. Jivo jivam majivayat. It's so nice because not only is it philosophy, but it's done in poetry. What Western philosopher could make philosophy but write it in poetry? Jivo jivam ajivayat. Thus all the universes remain thousands of ions within the water, the causal ocean, and the Lord of living beings entered into each of them, caused them to be fully animated. So this is Garbhadakshai Vishnu. The universe is expanded in the causal ocean, and Garbhadakshai Vishnu entered into them. Yeah. Garbhadakshai enters into each and every universe and causes it to be animated by begetting the living entities within the womb of the material nature. And here the Lord is described as Jivaha. He's the leader of the Jivas. Nityo, Nityanam. Chaitanas, Chaitananam. There's one supreme eternal, and there's many other eternals. There's the one is the supreme Lord. He's Jivaha. He's the leader of the Jivas. And Prabhupada describes then what happens, because in the verse it also says, Kala, Karma, Swabhava, So. This was also described previously in terms of creation. So after he enters, then Kala comes. The Lord enters into the universe, then time manifests. Prabhupada describes this. When, however, the animation takes place, this is nice, it describes Ajivam, the non-animated Ajivayat, caused to be animated. It's like when we're sleeping, we're unanimated or inanimate. Non-animated when we're sleeping. And then when we wake up, we become animated. Right? Just like someone has a stone face and then someone tells a joke and he goes, you know, his eyes light up. I have a picture on my wall in America, Prabhupada, like someone told him a joke and he becomes animated. He becomes alive. Not that when you say he becomes alive, it doesn't mean he was dead before. He was just unmanifest. So here's what happens. So this, when however the animation takes place, the living entities revive their own nature, their swabhav, their nature, their conditioned nature. This is, the prophet said, this is the purpose of creation. That Karnadakshai Vishnu, this is the mystery of creation, prophet said. He manifests all the universes. And then they become unmanifest. In that period of time, the living entity is meant to catch the truth. It's got to catch the truth. And then what happens when you go back in? So when you come back out, you come back out at your stage of previous development. So here it says, your swabhava manifests. Your own conditioned nature manifests. You gotta catch the truth. And that's why there's the verse, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya, Chajagaritaya. The Brahmins are the most dear to Krishna. Why? Because they're the vehicle by which the truth manifests. And there's no purpose of this universe unless you catch the truth. So living entities revive their own natural activities, under the spell of time and energy. So, their karma manifests under the spell of kala. And thus the varieties of living entities are manifested. So again, this means Krishna is the cause of all causes.
So, eva purushastasmad andam nirvidya nirgata sahasro brangriba Vaksha Sahasranana Shirshavam.
The Lord Mahavishnu, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it, and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, he entered into each universe and assumed the Varat Rupa with thousands of legs, arms, mouths, and heads. So he assumed the Varat Rupa. He assumed the universe. Anyway, this is Garbhadakshai Vishnu. He enters out of the, you know, he comes out. He's lying in the causal ocean. He comes out. And then he assumes the universe. The universe is like his body. You see, and there's two aspects to look at the universal form. One, Krishna himself can manifest in that way as he did to Arjuna. And at the same time, you can meditate on the universe as that form. When you meditate on the universe as that form, it's imaginary. And that's described in the next verse.
Yasye havayavai lokan kalpayanti manishyana katya adibhya adashapta saptor dvan jaganadivi.
Great philosophers imagine that the complete planetary system in the universe are displays of the different upper and lower limbs of the universal body of the Lord. So philosophers imagine the planets because there's lower, middle, and upper planets. So they look at those planets, and they imagine that that's the Lord's body. The lower planets are his feet, the middle planets are his stomach, the upper planets are his head. And we've discussed before this type of meditation. It's meant to have you, even though it's imaginary, it helps the impersonalist and the materialist to start looking at the world in the proper way, that it is Krishna's energy. So and that's why in the verse Prabhupada said the word kalpyanti or imagine is significant. The Virat universal form of the Absolute is imagination of the speculative philosophers who are unable to adjust to the eternal two-handed form of Lord Krishna. Although the universal form is imagined by the great philosophers as one of the features of the Lord, it is more or less imaginary. More or less. The less is that it's in your mind. The more is that the conception is real in the sense that the truth of the material world is its connection to God. So I would say that even if you look at a river as the veins of God, you are seeing that river more in truth than a geologist who sees it as atoms and, you know, this and currents and velocity and banks and so many things. You're seeing it more. So it's kind of imagination, but that imagination starts to tune your consciousness to see the essence of the world, which is that it is Krishna's energy. And remember, what Maya means is to, due to your desire for sense gratification, to have the illusion that God's energy is separate from it, for your sense of enjoyment, for that sense that I am better, I am great. For that sense, I am great, you have to be an illusion. That bhava that you want in this world, and I am superior, I am great, you have to be an illusion. And what's that illusion? The illusion is that this matter around me is mine. I'm the controller of my home. I'm the controller of this company. I'm the controller of this country. I'm the controller of this temple. You have to see it as separate from God. That's Maya. That's the illusion. So the more or less, the more part in the universal form, is that you're seeing it as God's energy is connected to it. You're seeing things in relationship to God, and that's the reality of everything. The reality of everything is its relationship to God. And if you don't know the relationship of something to God, you actually don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. And therefore, our philosophy is the first thing we learn is sambandhigyan. What is the relationship of everything to God? What is our relationship to God? What is the material world's relationship to God? So the initial knowledge deals with relationship. So the universal form is a preliminary form of sambandhigyan. It's starting to get you in the consciousness of seeing things in relationship to God. Even though you don't know it in a very detailed way, there's a sense of that. The Brahmins represent his mouth, the Kshatriyas his arms, the Vaishyas his thighs, and Sudras are born of his legs. So, Prabhupada describes this here. The human being is especially meant for this purpose, just as the parts of the body are meant to serve the whole. So the different vanas are, you can see the different vanas on the body of the Lord. In other words, you can relate your occupation to a part of the Lord's body and therefore see your occupation in relationship to God. So if you see the mouth speaks on behalf. The Brahmins represent the mouth. Why? Because they speak on behalf of God. They eat on behalf of God. In other words, they have a relationship of service to God. The Sudras are the legs, so they should work on behalf of God. The Kshatriyas are the arms. The arms are protecting, so the Kshatriyas should protect on behalf of God. So this kind of perception is very healthy. And as we have to see that, we have to see our occupations in relationship to God's service. We have to see what the relationship is to God. Without knowing, the human life is especially meant for this purpose, namely to know the factual relationship of every living being with the Supreme Lord. Without knowing this relationship, the human form of life is spoiled. And therefore, the Brahmins, Prabhupada said, are meant to speak about this relationship with God. Therefore, the universe is a complete unit in relationship with the Lord. And without this relationship with the Lord, the whole human society is disturbed without any peace and prosperity. So now it's going to just be described, and we'll read. The lower planetary systems up to the limit of the earthly system are said to be situated in his legs. The middle planetary systems, beginning from Bhuvar Lok, are situated in his navel, and still the higher planetary systems, occupied the demigods and cultured sages and saints, are situated in the chest of the Lord. The Prabhupada said all of them are situated on the body of the Lord. In other words, no one within the universe is without a relationship with the Lord. This is the whole purpose of this world, to revive our forgotten relationship with the Lord. And that's what the Virat Rupa was. The meditation on the Virat Rupa revives the original consciousness. The whole world is working for this, to revive the original consciousness. From the forefront of the chest up to the neck of the universal form of the Lord are situated the planetary systems, named Janalok and Tapalok, whereas Satyalok, the topmost planetary system, is situated on the head of the form. The spiritual planets are eternal. So Brahmalok, Prabhupada says, refers to the spiritual world. And Jiva Goswami gives a comment that this Brahmalok is sometimes used for Satyalok, which is Brahma's planet. It's also called Brahmalok. But Brahmalok means the spiritual world, and Jiva Goswami says, therefore, Brahmalok here is says Brahmaloka Sanatana. It's eternal. The other planets are not eternal. So this refers to the spiritual world. And what he's indicating is that this meditation on the Virat Rupa is a meditation on the material world. It's meditating on matter in relationship with God, but it's not the spiritual world. It's not the Dham. It's not the Virat Rupa is not an eternal manifestation of the Lord. It's you're looking at the universe, and the universe is temporary. It's temporary. Sridhar Swami, therefore, rightly commented on this verse, says that Brahmaloka mentioned here is Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, which is sanatan or eternal, because the word sanatan, and therefore not exactly like the material creations described above. The Virat, universal form of the Lord, is imagination for the material world. It has nothing to do with the spiritual world or the kingdom of God, because it's not eternal. My dear Narada, know from me that there are 7 lower planetary systems out of the total 14. The first planetary system, known as Atala, is situated on the waist. The second, Vitala, is situated on the thighs. The third, Sutala, on the knees. The fourth, Talatala, on the shanks. The fifth, Mahatala, on the ankles. The sixth, Rasatala, on the upper portion of the feet. And the seventh, Patala, on the soles of the feet. Thus, the Virat form of the Lord is full of all planetary systems. Loka Maya. Maya means to be full. Just like Radharani is called Krishnamayi. She's full of Krishna. The universal form is Loka Maya. It's composed of, or it's full of Krishna. It's composed of material planets. And therefore the conclusion is, therefore, liberation as contemplated by the speculative philosophers and mystics is possible only when one becomes a devotee of the Lord. And the verse given by Prabhupada to show this is a Brahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Abhritanajana. that from the topmost planet to the bottom, puna abritanojana, if you go to those planets, you come again, you're in this world. Again, you're in this world. But mam upetya tukontya. But if you come to Krishna, puna janmana vidyate. You never again take birth in this world. It's very nice how this Brahmalok, it's sanatana, it's eternal. Just so that one does not become confused that this meditation is in itself liberating. Therefore, liberation is contemplated by the speculative philosophers and mystics is possible only when one becomes a devotee of the Lord. Anyone who is a devotee cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Only by attainment of a service attitude and the transcendental position can one enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, the speculative philosophers, as well as the mystics, must first of all be attracted to the devotional cult before they can factually attain liberation. So by meditation on the universal form, you have to come to bhakti, you have to come to devotion. And without coming to devotion, you can't leave this world. Others may divide the whole planetary system into three divisions. In other words, there's so many planetary systems, but basically there are three. Namely, the lower planetary system on the legs up to the earth, the middle planetary systems on the navel, and the upper planetary system, Swarlok, from the chest to the head of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The three divisions of the complete planetary systems are here mentioned. 14 are imagined by others, and that is also explained. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Cause of All Causes. Now the next chapter will continue to discuss the universal form, but in terms of the Lord's vibhutis. This is describing it in terms of the planets. And now it will be described in terms of the vibhutis, which means the Lord's opulences. You can see God is the taste of water and you know, everything. So you can see it in terms of his opulences. And this next chapter will be called Purusha Shukta Confirmed. And the Purusha Shukta deals with a description of the universal form and how it's simultaneously one and different from God. How God, the universal form is basically Shiradakshai Vishnu, the super soul. He's pervading everything. In other words, God is actually everywhere by his Shakti. That last verse in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. By a spark of my splendor, I manifest the whole universe. And then Arjuna says, okay, let's see. And therefore the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the universal form. How God actually does that. How he's actually pervading everywhere. So, we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.